Gail might have a previous. It's a digital recorder, but you might be able to get something from God enough.
Yeah, you have the last.
You'll explain it to her afterwards. Okay, do it afterwards. Yeah. Okay, good. Something technological, probably. Okay, so what we are doing, the question was raised, we have been studying the Hakdama of the Ramban on Sefer Bereishis. It's really his Hakdama to his Perush al HaTorah. And the last 2 weeks we have begun that. We're going to finish Bezras Hashem, the Hakdama, this morning. And then we'll proceed in following Shiurim into his actual Perush al HaTorah. We'll pretty much be focusing on Parshas Bereishis as we learn through it. So that's what we've been doing, and we're on page Hey in this photocopy. If you don't have one, there's still a few left over here. If you don't have one, there's one left, I think. We're on page Hey, and we're going to be on the second line of page Hey. The second word of the line where it says Kolomar. And we have said before that everything is contained in the Torah, all wisdom is contained in the Torah. Kolomar shehakol nomad mehatorah. Everything was understood by the great people we mentioned above from the Torah itself. Ushlomo hamelech alav hashalom. Shlomo hamelech, King Solomon. Shenasan lohu Elokim ha-chachma v'hamada, who was granted by Hashem great wisdom and knowledge. Hakol min ha-Torah ha-yalo. It all came to him from the Torah. So that's an interesting insight, because we think about Shlomo HaMelech as just like knowing everything because Hashem gave him that bracha to exceed his request. So how did he convey all of that wisdom to Shlomo HaMelech? Through the Torah. And that's how Shlomo knew everything. Well, that's right. We think he just got it, right? He got it. But he got it through the Torah. That's what the Ramban says. Umimena lomad, and it was from it that Shlomo HaMelech learned. Ad sheyada sod kol hatoladas, until he knew the secret of all things that happened. Va'afilu kochos ha'asavim u'segulasam. He knew even the various properties of grasses and growing things and their special qualities, their segulos. Ad shekosav bohen afilu sefer refuos. And Shlomo HaMelech wrote a book called the Book of Healing, the Sefer Refuos. And we had that book for a long time, for several generations, until Shlomo HaMelech's descendant, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, was gonez the Sefer Refuos, he hid it. Why did he hide it? Because the refuah for all illness was in that book, something we'd want to have. So the reason Chizkiyahu hid it is because people stopped turning to Hashem to daven for refuah. They were just looking at the book and treating refuah like it was just some kind of something that you have to know how to do it, and you do it. And Chizkiyahu saw that they were no longer asking Hashem for refuah. And that's why he hid the Sefer Refuahs. But Shlomo HaMelech wrote that book. Ukinyan Shokasuv, as it says about Shlomo HaMelech, Vayidaber al Ho'etzim, and he spoke about the trees, Mino Erez, from the cedar tree, Asher Balavanon in Lebanon. Those, that's a mighty and strong, big tree. Va'ad ho'ezo v'asher yotzei bikir, until the moss which grows on the wall. In other words, the smallest little growing thing like moss, or hyssop they call it in English, all the way up to the tallest tree. So that's the knowledge of Shlomo HaMelech coming from the Torah itself, and those are a few branches of the knowledge that he understood. Now we're going to skip the rest of that page. It just describes more about those things a little more in detail. And if you turn to the next page and go four lines down, and it's a little bit halfway into the line, there's a period. And it says, Kol Zeh. All of this, yada b'torah, he knew from the Torah. V'hakol matzaba, and he found everything in the Torah. B'perusheha, in its explanations. B'diktukeha, in being medaktek in it, paying attention carefully to how it's written. B'osiyoseha, in its letters. U'b'kutzeha, and even the tagging, the little lines and dots on top of the letters, the crowns on the letters. Everything there, Kasher Hiskarti, as we mentioned above, contains enormous wisdom. V'chein amar bo hakasuv, and it says in the Navi about Shlomo HaMelech, Batei Rav Chochma Shlomo mechochmas kol b'nei kerem, that the wisdom of Shlomo was even greater, was greater than all the wise people of the East, B'nai Kedem, or the ancient people. So what was that pasuk trying to say? What did he know more than them? Kolomar, Shohayabaki mehem b'kesamim u'b'nechashen. He knew more about their own sorcery than they did. So they were experts in all this kinds of magic, the B'nai Kedem, powers of Tuma. Shlomo HaMelech knew more about it than they did. Shazuhi chachmasam. That was their wisdom, like that was their niche. Shlomo HaMelech knew more. Shenemar, as it says, kimalu mikedem ba'onanim kiplishtim, that these people were sorcerers. V'kach amru, and it also says, ma hoyso chachmasan shal b'nei kedem. What was the wisdom of the people called b'nei kedem? Shohayu yodim va'arumim b'tayor. They knew and they were clever about birds. And it really means to say it's a certain kind of magic and sorcery that was done with birds, ophos. And then it says about Shlomo, continuing, u'mikol chachmas Mitzrayim, and he knew more than all of the wisdom of Egypt. Shohayu baki b'kishafim, another type of sorcery, that he knew more than them, Shehi Chachmas Mitzrayim. We know that Paro and all of his sorcerers that he had around him and Moshe Rabbeinu went down there, they were doing all kinds of amazing things. So Shlomo outdid them, outknew them. And what else did they know of Mitzrayim? Ubeteva Hatzomeach. They knew a lot about the nature of growing things. Ki Yodua Misefer Ha'avoda HaMitzrit, as is known from a book called Avoda HaMitzris, Shohayu Bikiin Ma'o, that the Mitzriim were expert b'inyan hazrios, in planting, v'ha harkova, and in grafting, b'minin, with different species of growing things. So Shlomo HaMelech was wiser than them, even in the areas of their expertise. And of course, we saw earlier in the Perush of the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu was aware of all of these things at the highest level. V'kach amru, and they said even more about Shlomo HaMelech. Afilu pilpulin nata Shlomo be'eretz Yisrael, that even pilpulin, which is a kind of pepper, he grew in Eretz Yisrael. V'ketzad hoya nota, and so how did he grow it? What was the amazing thing about his growing these pilpulin peppers? Ella, Shlomo Chacham Hoya. Shlomo was very wise. V'hoya yodeya ikar mash siso shel olam. He knew how the whole world, the earth, developed and expanded at its creation. Lama, how's that? Mitzion michlal yofi elokim hofia. To pasuk in Tehillim, and it says, from Tzion, from Eretz Yisroel, is all of the beauty of the world, comes from Israel, comes from Eretz Yisroel. Hashem has it appear. So everything in the world, every country has its own beautiful thing. It can grow special things. Where does that come from? It really comes from Eretz Yisroel. Mitzion nishtachlel kol ha'olam kulo. That the entire world was completed and made beautiful from Tzion. From Eretz Yisroel. That's a Gemara that says that in Yuma. Ketzad. What does this mean? Lama nikreis evin shesia. Why is that stone, which is by the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the Holy of Holies, why is it called the Evan HaShisiyah? So the Chachamim say, Shemimena Nishasas HaOlam. It was from that stone that the world expanded into being. So that was the beginning place of the earth, the Evan HaShisiyah. And from there, Shasas, Nishasas, the world spread out. It developed. So we're saying then, on a deeper level, that in kernel form, in concentrated form, all of the world was contained in that stone. And then it spread out to everywhere else. So Shlomo understood that. Regina, yeah? It appears to be the earth. It appears to be there. I can't tell you for sure if that's correct or not, but so it appears to be. Shlomo knew that. He knew that stone, and he knew how every place in the world derive its particular segulos and kochos from Eretz Yisrael. He grasped that. So therefore, what did he do? V'haya Shlomo yodeya ezehu gid shehu holech lekush. Shlomo knew which artery from that stone went to Kush, which is Ethiopia most likely. Which artery? And Kush was the place where they grew these pilpulin peppers. That's the place in the world where they come from. But Kush draws its koach from Eretz Yisroel. Shlomo knew the artery that connected Kush to Eretz Yisroel. He could look at the land of Israel and say, right here, this spot of land, that's where all the segulos of Kush come from. And this is where all the segulos of Italy come from. This is where all the segulos of Spain come from. You can see it in the land of Israel. Just one second, Linda. And Venuta Olaf Pilpulin. So he found that artery in the land of Israel, and he planted pilpulin there. Umiyad hayu osin peros, and they grew immediately. So he understood exactly the source of where it all came from. Shekenu omer venatati bohem eitz kol pri. As Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, many of the cryptic statements, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees, right? So why does he have to say that? It's a nice thing, you know. But a deeper level, he's saying he knew where they all originated from in the land of Eretz Yisrael. He could pick that spot exactly where it's going to grow, and that's where he grew them. Linda, please, yeah.
It's a side topic. I just always wondered this. Do the Arabs who control that spot over the stone,
very hard to say, very hard to say.
Because we know where the stone is,
right? Yeah, basically, you know, we know that it's in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and we know that it's there. And everything they do is to try and co-opt and seize the power of other religions, in particular, you know, Yiddishkeit. That's their way of showing conquest, that they take your holy space, and they say, now it's mine. As a matter of fact, yours never existed, which is what they're trying to say now. Did you just see Abbas recently, Yimach Shemo, what he most recently gave out to the press? He doesn't want it called by the press anymore the Temple Mount. Because that already implies that there was once a temple there. It's only to be called their name, you know, Al-Aqsa, not to be called. So he is making his request known to the world press. It shouldn't be called that anymore. They're gradually trying to disassociate any Jewish connection to the Mokom HaMikdash. That's why they trucked out all that, those tons of earth from there. They're trying to get rid of all the archaeological evidence, which they can't, but nonetheless, that's what they're vying to do. What's that?
And it works.
The world believes it, right. Of course, the world wants to believe. You have to remember that, too. It takes two. The world chooses to believe the lies that they tell. They're very easy to dismiss those lies if you know anything, but they don't want to. Don't get me started.
We don't have a tradition that there is any type of control over that spot. Like the, that's
I don't know.
Out, like that's
yeah.
That's
yeah, although in a certain way, of course the Shekhinah is still there. It's the Mokom HaMikdash, but the Shekhinah also left. Right? If the Shekhinah was there, they would die. Anybody would die by walking into that place. So like it says by Titus, before he drew his sword and went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim and sliced the parochas there, how could he walk in there without dying? A Kohen Gadol who wasn't properly prepared would die. Certainly a Rasha. The Sheen already left. So it's there to a certain level, because that is the Mokum HaMikdash, the intensity of the Shekhinah already withdrew at the time of the Korban HaBayis. So they may have some power that derives from that, but remember, it's to their own detriment, because they're using their power for wicked purposes, and ultimately that will come back against them. They think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too worried about that. I wouldn't be too. I mean, it's horrible that it's like that, but to attribute that kind of koach to them because of that, like I would kind of back off of that. It attributes too much power to them. Yeah, please, Ruth.
On another note.
Yes.
it struck me that just as there's sort of a parallel between Avraham Avinu deciphering and understanding Hashem's world just by observation and putting, so to speak, two and two together, so Shlomo Melech looked into he knew everything about the functioning of the world through the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a parallel? Am I?
Yes, except they were coming from different directions. So Avraham Avinu, his greatness was that he could see the Torah in the world. He could look at the world and see the Torah in the world. Because after all, the Torah was the sword, the blueprint, so to speak, that the Torah was created from. So he could go from that direction. And the Chachamim say that Abraham kept Kol HaTorah Kula, even mitzvos derabbanan. So he was able to see those things in the world. Now, once you had the event of Kabbalah HaTorah, now we go the other direction. Now we take the Torah and we use the Torah to see the world. So Shlomo HaMelech was coming from that direction. He had the Torah, can see it in that way. The Ramchal writes that a person, even in our time, in any time, can discover Hashem by simply observing the world in an objective way.
I guess it's the idea of the extrapolation. That's
right,
what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Extrapolated from.
Right, the Shlomo extrapolated from Torah and then got everything. Avraham Avinu extrapolated, because there was no Kabbalah HaTorah yet, he extrapolated from the world. And through that, he arrived at Torah because of his greatness, and from there he went.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, please, Mira.
Yeah, you just said about, what...
Linda, yeah.
We daven every day, Malchus, Chamalchus, Kol Olamim, Umem Shantecha, Bechol Dor V'dor. And, Hashem's taking care of the world. We have that confidence that we don't have to worry about, you're in good hands, and that's the story.
That's a very nice approach. I wish I didn't worry about those things. but we do worry a little bit about our enemies, and even a lot.
Sure,
but the bottom line is what you said, Malchuscha, Malchuscha, Lami, that's Hashem, Firtevelt, Rebishur Firtevelt, that we always have to know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Rebbe Simply.
I get to add my little thought now on this, because you're...
Yeah, I'll take two more, otherwise we're going to just completely... go into this topic. Just take two more, right?
I always think, as powerful as they think they are, they're so afraid for one Jew to come and daven over there.
Yeah.
And that's a Masorah they have from way back. Don't let the Jews pray. Don't let them cry. Don't let them. And I always feel that's what drives that posture that we can't go over there.
Yeah. When we were in Eretz Yisrael last year, so one of the tours we took was one of those places in the old city that you can look onto the Har Habayis from, it's a striking thing. So as we're there with our tour guide, it's a small group, this Arab walks by and he screams at us. And then, you don't know what's going to happen in that moment. For a moment, you're thinking, what's going to happen here? And then he walked on. So our tour guide who speaks Arabic says, You don't want to know what he just said, do you? So I think I have an idea what he said to me. Yeah. Yeah, Regina, please. He was granted it. Yeah, now the thing is this, that Shlomo HaMelech requested it. So that means it meant so much to him that of all the things in the world he could have asked for, that's what he asked for. There's nothing greater than that, really, than the desire to have Chochmas HaTorah. And Hashem saw that in Shlomo HaMelech's request, that it was pure and it was honest, authentic, and that's why he said, okay, that's what I'm looking for. You get to have it. So it's not that he didn't work for it. He asked for it sincerely. And of course, by the time he was asking, I'm sure he was already a great Talmud Chacham in his own right. He was Shlomo HaMelech. So he, of course, had put in his own effort. But he was blessed with more following his request. You're asking me. We don't know where it is.
Oh, we don't know.
No.
So it was in
Eretz Yisrael. Yes, sure. Yeah. There are places they say this is Shaare Gan Eden. There are places they say that in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't really know where it is.
Yeah.
It
was,
all right, so we don't know where it is. No. Yeah. Okay. Now we'll go a little weiter, and this is a new concept that he's saying now, that he's going to teach us about that realm which we mentioned a few weeks ago, that the Ramban was the first of the great people of that era to mention publicly Kabbalah. It was always learned secretly, Sodos HaTorah. The Ramban was part of that chain. The Arizal says the Ramban was one of the great chains, the links in the chain of Kabbalah, but it was completely hidden. Even though there are remuzim to it in the Gemara as well, it's not like you don't know that there's secret wisdom there. But the Ramban comes out and he says in his commentary, Al Pisod, Chochmas HaEmes, that means Kabbalah. So now he's going to make a comment about that. O Yesh B'Yodenu Kabbalah Shel Emes. We also know, it's in our hands, a mesorah. Here Kabbalah means a mesorah, which is true. Ki kol haTorah kula shemosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the entire Torah is names of Hashem. For from the beginning, Bereishis Bara Elokim, until the end, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, straight through, it's all shemos of Hashem. Shehatevos mitzchalkos l'shemos be'inyan acher. That the words of Torah, you could divide them separately, differently. You could divide the letters and make other words than the words that are actually there. Ki'ilu tachshov aderech mashal. For example, you could think, ki pasuk bereshis, you could take the words bereshis bara Elokim, yischalek l'tevos acheros, you can divide those letters differently, kagon, and have Barosh Yisbara Elokim. That's the same letters as Barosh Yisbara. Barosh Yisbara Elokim. In the beginning, Elokim was created, the Shem Hashem. So that's some kind of a Kabbalistic idea. It doesn't mean God was created, Chas V'Shalom. God is the creator. It doesn't get into that. He says that's an example of how you could read those same letters differently. V'chol haTorah came, and it's the same thing applies to all of the Torah. Milvad seirufehem, besides the things that we know about, like combinations of letters, and gematriosehem, gematrios, which are merames to deep things, shel shemos of the shemos of Hashem. So, for example, there's a pasuk that we know in Tehillim, yismachu hashamayim v'sogel ha'aretz. That's Rosh Tevos Yud Ke Vav Ke. Yismachu Yud Hashamayim Ke Visagel Vav Ha'oretz Ke. Yud Ke Vav Ke. Mi Ya'ale Lanu Hashamayim. Mi Mem Ya'ale Yud Lanu Lamed Hashamayim. Hey, Mila. That's Mila. And the Sofe Tevos Mi Yud Ya'ale he lanu vav hashamayma ke. Mila yudke vav ke. That's brought down in Svarim about Bris Mila. So that's, he's talking about Tsiruthim that we know about. So besides those things, he says, there are other things that the whole Torah is Shemos of Hashem. Ukavar kasav Rabbeinu Shlomo b'peirushav, and Rashi already wrote in his Perush on what? B'talmud, on the Gemara, not the Zohar. Rashi doesn't comment on the Zohar. Rashi's commentary is on the Talmud, on the Gemara. And Rashi is merames to this. He hints to it. Inyan Hashem HaGadol Shel Shivim Mushtayim. Rashi says that there's something hinted to the 72-letter name of Hashem, the Shem Ayin Beis. But Be'eze Inyan Hu Yotzei Mishlosh Psukim Vayisa Vayovo Vaye. That there's three psukim in Shemos, which begin Vayisa Vayovo Vaye. He traveled, he came, he pitched his tent. And they all, those three psukim contain B'derech Remez as a hint, the Shem Ayin Beis, the 72-letter name of Hashem. That's a Rashi in the Gemara. And he kind of throws that out. Umibnei zeh sefer Torah, because of this, that the whole Torah is Shemos of Hashem, a sefer Torah shetoa bo ba'us achas, a sefer Torah that has one mistake in one letter, b'molei o b'chaser, one letter too many, one letter less than it's supposed to, puzzle. That Torah is puzzle. Why? Ki zeh ha'inyan yichayev osanu lifsol sefer Torah, because this inyan, that it's all one shame or many shemos of Hashem, it obligates us to say, it compels us to say, if one letter is missing, it's puzzle. You're missing part of the shame of Hashem. Shayeches arbo vav, echad mimilas osam. Like, for example, if you have the word osam in the Torah, and it's supposed to be mole with the vav, aleph, vav, tuf, mem, and the vav is not there, Shaba'u mehem lamites mele'im b'Torah. There are 39 places in the Torah where osam is supposed to be written mole with the vav. And if you write it without the vav, you can still read it osam. It's still puzzle, even though you can read it the right way. O sheyichtav havav be'echad mishar hachaserim. Or if the vav is supposed to be chaser, and you write it in, doesn't change the way you're going to read the word. You still read it osam. That Torah is puzzle, even though you can read it correctly. V'chein ki yodzei v'zeh, and anything similar. Af al pi she'eno maila ve'eno morid. Even though it doesn't add or take away anything from the way you're reading the Torah, kifi ha'ola b'machshava, according to what we would think. V'zehu ha'inyan shehivi gedolei ha'mikra limnos mole v'chaser, b'chol ha'torah v'ha'mikra. That's why people who were expert in Mikra, in Tanakh, in Torah, that's why they, what's what brought them to count and to enumerate every single letter in the Torah which is supposed to be there and not supposed to be there, u'lechaber seforim b'misores, and to write books about this tradition so people would know how to write a Torah properly, ad Ezra ha'sofer, Hanavi, all the way up to Ezra HaSofer, who was a master of this, Shenishtadel Bozeh, and put forth great effort to make sure all the Sifrei Torah were written correctly. I think I mentioned to you previously that Ezra HaSofer's Sefer Torahs, they became the standard for Klal Yisrael for the rest of history, how to write a Sefer Torah. Kamosh Shadorshu Mipasuk, as it says in a Pasuk there in Ezra, Vayikra'u b'sefer Torah so Elohim meforesh. They read from the Sefer Torah of Hashem explicitly, v'som seichel. They devoted much intelligence to it, v'yovinu b'mikra, to understand the mikra, the way the psukim are written properly. So it's crucial, because one letter is missing, the Torah is puzzle. Why? It's all one shame of Hashem. You can't have a letter of the name of God missing, even if it doesn't make a difference in the way you pronounce the word. V'nira shehatorah ha'ksuva. So now, going back to the Chazal he quoted earlier, and he said that the Torah pre-existed the world, and it's in a state of be'esh shechora al gabe esh lavana, black fire on white fire. Be'inyan hazeh she'izkarnu haya, the Ramban says now, that is what that inyan is referring to. That fiery Torah, black fire on white Torah, that's talking about a Shemos Torah. Shehoisa ha-kesiva ritzufa b'li hefsek tevos. That Torah, black fire on white fire, is written straight through. There's no break between words in that Torah. It's just one long word of black fire written on white fire. It says, b'li hefsek tevos, no breaks between words. V'hoya efshar kriyasa. So therefore, the Torah, you can read it, shetikra, it can be read, al derech ha-shemos, as along the way of looking at it as shemos of Hashem. You could learn the Torah that way. One has to know, of course, how to do that. V'tikra al derech kriyasenu. You can also read the Torah the way we read it. Vayidaber Hashem, Amosha, Lemor, Daber, El B'nei Yisrael, v'chule. What's that called? Be'inyan HaTorah V'HaMitzvah. When you read the Torah the way we read it, that's called reading Torah Be'inyan HaTorah V'HaMitzvah. That way of learning Torah will teach us how to live our life, how to keep Shabbos, how to keep kosher. V'chule. V'nitna L'Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was given al derech chiluk kriyas HaMitzvah, the way we have it, that you could read it and understand the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. That's how it was given to him, that's how he wrote it down, that's how we have it. However, the nimser lo al peh kriyasa bashemos, Hashem verbally gave over to Moshe how to read the Torah b'derech shemos of Hashem. So you're looking at the same words and you're reading a completely different story. Of course, it's all one. It's all unified. And you can read the Torah this way or that way. Obviously, we read it b'derech ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah. We don't know how to read it b'derech ha-shemos. V'chein, yichtavu ha-shem ha-gadol she-hizkarti kula ratzuv. He says also, that great name of Hashem I mentioned, the 72-letter names, name of Hashem. You can read that all straight through without any breaks, one long 72-letter shame, or the Yischalek Litevos Shal Sholosh Sholosh Osios. It can also be divided into three-letter groups, 24 three-letter groups, L'chalukim Acherim Rabim, and to other various different types of separating and putting together the letters. Kefi Hashimush Leba'ale HaKabbalah, according to those who know Kabbalah and the way they use Shemos of Hashem. Now he says it outright. That those who know Kabbalah and know Shemos of Hashem and how to learn them and how to be holy enough to understand what they are, it requires tremendous Kedusha and Tahara and Hachana. The Tzaddikim who were Osek with this, they were completely purified themselves before they would even begin to delve into that wisdom. So the Ramban is letting us know that's there in the Torah. Doesn't tell us how, doesn't want to tell us how, but interestingly enough, right, he wants us to know that it's there. He didn't have to say this. Rashi didn't say this. Right? No one, other Mefarshim didn't say that. The Ramban feels the responsibility. He made this is a choice that he's saying here. He wants people to know that this is in the Torah. And this really historically is one of the, as I mentioned, one of the first time it comes out in a more public fashion from a person so great like the Ramban, a tremendous authority, unquestioned authority and Siddhka. So it's very significant, not only what he's writing in its content, that we know that Torah is one long Shem Hashem, or many Shemos of Hashem, and there are certain great people who know how to do that, It's significant because he told us that. It's also significant historically that he's coming out and saying this. It's a little bit, it's a change, it's a shift in the way Klal Yisrael more publicly looked at Torah. It took a greater shift a few hundred years later with the Arizal in Tzfas, when he promulgated even more so. And that really affected us for Ad HaYom HaZeh. Now before I get to you, Regina, now he's going to tell us something about this Kabbalah. It's words of caution for us. Va'ata da'u re'eh. Come and see, come and hear, I'm sorry, come and see. Know and see. Mo ashiv sho'alei dover. What do I respond to those who ask, people who want to know? B'ksivas perush ha-Torah, people want to know about this writing of commentary on the Torah. Avo esnahei k'minhog harishon. He says, I'm going to do as the earlier people did, like Rashi, the Ibn Ezra, who he quoted before. Lohaniach da'as ha-talmidim. I'm going to try and set at ease the intellect, the questions of the students, the people who study Torah like us, and have questions on the Torah. I want to help you understand, he's saying to us. Yigiei ha-golus v'hatzaros. We who are so tired out from exile and from pain. That's 800 years ago. Hakorim b'seder b'shabbosos u'b'moadim, who read Torah every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, v'limshoch liba b'pshatim, and to draw their hearts with different pshatim of Torah, u'b'ktsas devorim ne'imim, and from some nice and pleasant words, l'shomim, for those who listen, u'l'yodim chen, and to those who know chen, that's another remez to Kabbalah. Chain is Chachma Nistora, Chachma Sanister, Hidden Torah. Vekel Chanun Yichanenu Vivorchen, Yichaneni Vivorchenu. May Hashem, the compassionate God, have compassion on us. May He bless us. Venimsochain Vesechel Tova Beine Elokim Viadam, that we shall find favor and good Sechel in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of man. Vaani. Now he says, Hinini mevi bibris ne'emenes. I'm bringing this out in a trustworthy covenant. Vehi hanosenes. And it's given and understood. Eitza hogenes. I'm giving you good counsel. L'chol mistakel b'sefer hazeh. To anybody who's going to look into my sefer, my perush, and learn it, I have something to tell you, he says. L'val yisbor svora. Don't try and use your own logic. Val yachshov machshavos. And don't think thoughts. Bedovor mikol haramazim. When I write about hints of the Torah, asher ani kosev b'sisrei ha-Torah, anything that I write which is in the category of sisrei Torah, secrets of the Torah, he says, don't try to understand. Don't try. Ki ani modio ne'amana, I'm letting you know truthfully and trustfully, shelo yusugu devarai, that my words cannot be comprehended. Velo yivodu klal, and they cannot be known, besom sechel ubina, by putting forth intelligence and knowledge, you can be a genius, you will not understand sisrei Torah. It's not about intelligence. It's about Kedusha. Zulasi mipi makubal chacham. Unless you have heard from a true makubal, laozen makabel mevin, and you have an ear that's truly ready to hear, vahasvara boheni veles, and if you try to devote your own logic to these words of sisrei Torah, you will twist it, you will distort it. Machshava mo'eles, you will bring it down and defile it. Rabas ha-nezokin, you will cause great damage. Menuas ha-to'eles, it will be held back for any productive purpose. Al ya'amin b'shav nit'ed, don't believe in falsehood, meaning the falsehood of our own logic. Kilo tevo'uhu b'svarosav rak ra'a, because if you start to apply your own logic, it will only bring bad and evil to the world. Ki yadabru el Hashem sora. You'll speak about Hashem words that are not correct. Asher lo yuchlu kapora, that cannot be atoned for. Shenemar adam toa miderach haseichel b'kahal refa'im yanua. Pasuk in Mishlei, a person who wanders away from the path of Seichel, he will rest amongst the dead. Al yehersu el Hashem liros. Do not try and break forward to see Hashem. That's what Moshe told the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Don't go past this boundary, he said. Ki Hashem Elokeinu esh ochlohu kel kenaos. Hashem, our God, is an all-consuming fire. V'hu yira es ritzuyav mitaras anivlot. He will show the one he wants to show, ritzuyav, those who are pleasing to him, he will show them the wonders of the Torah. So the Ramban, as he comes out with letting us know, he's going to say some words of Sodas HaTorah. He'll tell us in his commentary when he's saying it. He calls it certain things, as we said, Chochma Aso Emes. And when he gets there, he says, don't try to understand. You'll only misunderstand, no matter how smart you are, because Hashem has to bless you with this knowledge. And it's the only way it comes. Now contrast that to our generation and everybody who thinks they know how to learn Kabbalah, right? Everybody, right? Everybody. So we have to hear the words of the Ramban, what it really means, you know, to do that. And you saw how strong he was in his lashon, very strong. Now going back to what we can understand, right, and that's plenty deep in and of itself. Avo yechazu beperushenu chidushim, but come see in this perush chidushim, new thoughts, bipshatim in pshat, uba midrashim and in midrash. V'yikhu musr, and take musr, mipi rabosenu hakadoshim, from our great rabbis. B'godol mimcho al tidrosh, don't look into something which is greater than you. B'chazak mimcho al tachkor, that which is more powerful than you, don't look into it. B'mufla mimcho bal teda, that which is too set apart from you, you cannot know. B'mechusa mimcho al tishal, that which is covered from you, don't ask. B'masho hersheisa hisponein, in that which is allowed for us to learn, hisponein, contemplate it, think about it. So unlike people say, you're not allowed to ask questions, no, ask, hisponein, ask. Where? B'masho hersheisa, in all those areas of Torah where it's open to us and permitted to us, ask, hisponein. Ve'ein lecha esek ben yistaros, but we have no dealings in Nistaros, in Hashem's secret things. So that's very clear how the Ramban wants us to take his commentary on the Perush. But I think I mentioned to you when we started that in the English translation of the Ramban that Art Scroll did recently, whenever the Ramban says something, al derech hasod, they don't translate it into English. They do write down the Hebrew. You can't edit, you can't start being a censor on the Ramban, right? They write the Hebrew down fully, but any time it's al derech hasod, they don't translate it. That's the shita they took. I personally agree with that, because you have to have it in Hebrew. For those who are zochet to know, they should be learning it. You have to have it. But to write it in English, that's mamish going against what the Ramban is saying, I think. That if a person needs English to understand the Ramban, then they can't be learning Sodas HaTorah. Because look what a person has to know in order to learn Sodas HaTorah. Knowing Hebrew is just like step number one. And then there's step 1,000 that come after that about a person's character and who they are. So it's a good Musar lesson for us, especially, as I said, in today's world where people treat Sodas HaTorah as if it's just something everybody knows and talk about it in that way. Nobody knows what they're talking about. As my Rebbe used to say, Zichron Livracha, Rabbi Tursky, those who know don't say, those who say don't know. Yeah. Yeah, please, Mrs. Fran.
We can understand that why the Malachim didn't want the Torah to go down to earth, because they're talking about
lofty Torah. That's right.
But my question on the Ramban is, he can tell us that they're Sodos and give an example or two, who is he writing the rest for? Because if someone is a Mekubal, they'll get it from who they're supposed to. And if they're not, they have no business anyway.
Yeah. So I think he's saying this. Those who are privy to that knowledge and they realize that they are zoche to it, so they can look at a Ramban and see something deeper and greater than they knew before. Because what he's saying now, he's saying things to people when he's talking about those Sodos HaTorah, those precious Yechidei Segula, that they're going to get something out of. He's writing something.
They get that from whoever was...
who they got it from him. Yeah, so he is part of the chain of that Shalshelet. He's one of those people who is now giving it over to the next generation. And unlike others who preceded him, instead of just doing it verbally, he's actually putting it down in writing. Maybe he's looking at the effect, I'm speculating, of Golus on Klal Yisrael. Maybe he realizes that we're becoming further and further apart. He's got to write some of it down, because maybe someone is not going to get to the Ramban to even ask him the question. So he wants those who know to be able to know. Could be. Because it's not just that like a person is blessed with it and they have it, but as he said, mipi mekubal chacham leozen mekabel. You do have to get certain keys from the previous door, who those people were. And, of course, you have to be blessed by Hashem to be able to understand that.
So it's just the keys that such a person would get, not
that's right.
Specific.
That's right. You're getting the maftechos. And that's why he writes it always b'derech haremes. Those who will understand those keys and can take them and do something with it, they can do that. Rav Yosef Irgas, who was an Italian Mekubal, wrote some Yesodistikus Forum on this. And he said the word Kabbalah means that you have to be Mekabel. You have to receive the keys from the previous generation. Without those keys, it's not possible to understand it. Yeah, please, sir.
I guess I'm looking for some clarification, yeah. Because I wasn't here the last week. Yeah. But is the Ramban saying that in all his, in everything that he comments on, that there are things that for everyone to understand and there are hidden things, and we shouldn't delve into the hidden things if we're not up to that level? But that's about everything that he comments on?
No, it's only about the things that he says, and he does say that, that this is all derech ha'emes. Well, he's going to write that.
He said this is one of those things. Mm-hmm. So if we learn a Ramban in Chumash, we should look at it like, okay, we should be able to understand this.
Try and understand it, that's right. And that's most of the Ramban.
Okay.
Most of the Ramban is like that. But a small part of the Ramban, a small but very noticeable part of the Ramban is al derech ha'emes. And he tells you.
Whatever, he'll say, okay, this is one of those things. So if we're learning that in class, be it here or in school or whatever, would someone be sort of skipping over that or trying to explain that on the level of
Would either skip it, or what I would do is I would learn it and translate it, and then I would go on.
And if people ask questions about it, you'd still probably say, let's...
Right, because really, the Ramban, he already told us, don't try. Right, so why should we try? It's like very chutzpahdik in a certain way. Now, I must say something else, too. Sforim that were written after the Ramban, also Sifrei Kabbalah, who quote the Ramban, sometimes what they do is when the Ramban says, this is al derech hasod, they will write down what they think he means. So sometimes, like here in the Shevel Ramban, he'll quote Rikanti, that's one of the later commentators of Mekubal, who wrote down what he thought the Ramban meant. So you can get a little, a spark or two from, but they're also writing very concisely and very, in an esoteric way. They're following the Ramban, but just giving you a little more than the Ramban gave us. Yeah, please. Oh, but I do want to clarify that most of the Ramban is not like this. Most of the Ramban is a classic commentary on Torah that's meant to be learned by everybody as best as we can. Yeah, please.
I was at a table looking for a young scale, and somebody said something about Avokada that was saying if they know them, they shouldn't be saying them because all they do to us really is confuse us and make us question things we shouldn't be questioning. Maybe they are on that level, but then they should know not to say it.
You have to know what to say, you have to know what not to say.
Yeah. It wasn't true.
Right, that's right. And also, we have to know this as well, that saying something deep in Torah is not equivalent to saying secrets of Torah. Torah is deep. And there's nothing wrong with saying deep things in Torah, as long as a person is zocha and ro'i l'ka. Sodos ha-Torah means it's much more than deep. It's beyond deep. It's unfathomable. So if a person is zocha, you know, to know more depth in Torah, and they teach Torah, and they can explain it well, that's fine. That's not sodos ha-Torah. That's the depth of Torah. So was that, I don't know the comment, was that in that league, or was that a person trying to say sodos ha-Torah? I don't know. But the Torah is plenty deep without getting to Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. It's plenty deep. And that's accessible with discretion. So one has to be aware of what they're saying and certainly use discretion with what they're saying. And is it the forum to say such a thing? And again, in our times, a lot of people are not speaking with a lot of discretion. Mira, you had a question?
Yeah. I just want, you know, a lot of the Hasidic rabbis delved into this.
Sota Satora, right?
Yeah.
Right. Develop.
To, like, from here, the Ramban was around 1200, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So it came over a big tekufa.
Yes, it did. So the chain goes like this. You have the Ramban, who begins to write it more openly. A few hundred years later, you have the Arizal and Sfas, and his great Talmud, including Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital wrote down the teachings of the Ari. That's what's known as the Kisvei HaArizal. A few hundred years later, you have four giants of Torah, all in the 18th century, who began to write and speak about Kabbalah more so, the Baal Shem Tov, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Ramchal, the Gaon of Vilna. My Rebbe, Rabbi Twersky Zatzal, he made the observation that all four of those great men lived in the same era, never met each other, and all began to write and teach in a way, the Baal Shem didn't write, but he taught, in ways that drew more on Sodos HaTorah and bringing them more so out into the public realm. And they all brought that into their writing. If you look at an Or HaChaim HaKadosh, right, he writes things that earlier Mefarshim were not writing. He reveals, he gives more. The Ramchal, but a lot of the Ramchal's writing are simply not understandable. Right? We learn the Derech Hashem, Das Tavunos. You look at the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Ramchal, you have no idea what he's talking about, literally. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you can try and understand a little bit. The Talmidei HaBaal Shem, the Gaon of Vilna, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, his great student. But we have to remember this. Even though they started to promulgate more, they absolutely followed the same principle of the Ramban, of Hamaskil Yavin. Those who know will know. So they taught more, but they only did so b'derech remez and in very careful fashions. They were not just out there teaching Kabbalah. They chose their students carefully. They chose their writings extremely carefully. They followed this Ramban very much so in principle when they began to promulgate more Kisvei Kabbalah. And they did not in any way teach those Sodos HaTorah. They were so great in their own right where it would go over the line. They were very careful with that line and how they taught. But at the same time, what Meira said is true. You see in latest form, not just Sifrei Hasidus, those four groups that I mentioned, those four streams of Torah, so you have the Gra, which is the Yeshiva Shevelt, the Litva Shevelt, drawing on the Gra, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Baal Shem Tov, the Hasidus Shevelt, or Rav Chaim HaKadosh, the world of the Sfardim, Rav Chaim HaAtar, and the Ramchal, who was Italian, but he's pretty much universal, but he learns Ramchal. So, four great people who affected the Machshava and the Hashkafa of the way Klal Yisroel relates to Torah till our very day, because that's already recent history, 1700s, they're all drawing on the writings of the Arizal and incorporating into their Mahalach. And when it comes to Sephardim and Hasidim, they even incorporated some of those things already into practice, into Minhag. So certain Hasidish and Minhagim are done al pi HaKabbalah. It's not unique to Hasidus, it's already brought down in Sifrei Halacha too. I'll give you one example. It's for men, but it's an example. When you wear tefillin, so a man wraps tefillin and he wraps the strap 7 times down his forearm. You put the bayis up here, 7 krichos around your forearm, then here. This is not al pi halacha 7. You can do 1, 2, 3, 4, al pi halacha, whatever you want. That's the Ari. The Arizal said 7 times down on the arm, on the forearm. Everybody does it. Gans Klal Yisrael, everybody does it. So a practice which is done al pi HaKabbalah went into every nook and cranny of Klal Yisrael. Fascinating. How did that happen? Why did that happen? I don't know. Fascinating thing. Because al pi din, it's not 7 isn't necessary. If a man, for whatever reason, if his strap breaks and he's not able to replace it, and he has to do less than 7 on his forearm in order to wrap the on his finger, you can do less than 7 al pi halacha. It's okay. So you have practices like that where the quote-unquote Kabbalistic custom became general practice. You have such things, more so amongst Hasidim and Sephardim, more so, but you'll find them in other circles as well. But I do want to say it just to emphasize, because it's so important, that they all followed this Mahalach of the Ramban. They were careful how they wrote, they were careful how they said it. They never had the intention of making what's nowadays, you know, popular Kabbalah. Never had that intention. It was always meant for people who were able to grasp this more so. It's like, yeah, Regina, yeah. We just have a little more time because I saw, I know Rabbi Howard's not going to be here today, so that's why I'm allowing myself to go over. I wouldn't cut into his class. Yeah. The Rambam? But believe it or not, we don't know. But it's pretty clear he didn't have the writings of Kabbalah.
Yeah,
he was not exposed to them. At an intellectual level. Right.
He wrote on different levels for different people, like the Ramban is doing here.
But it wasn't all piece sewed.
No,
right.
But it was just stuff that he felt people just wouldn't get. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And
so it's the same kind of the thing.
Similar.
It's sort of like
similar.
Class.
Yeah.
You throw out a lot of information, and there's some kids that are going to get it, and the rest will get the rest.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean,
Wait, before you go, I want to make a comment on that, just about the godless of the Rambam.
Yeah.
So the Rambam apparently was not exposed to Kabbalah. That's what it seems like. Mm-hmm. Some say that he did have it late in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Some say that. Something. Different opinions. And the Rambam writes about things at such a high level, like when he goes into his, you know, very deep, either philosophical or theological ideas, you know, those kinds of things. And in certain areas, the Baal HaTanya, who was a great Mekubal, he quotes the Rambam, and then he quotes the Rambam, and he closes with these few words, V'hiskimu ito chachmei ha-Kabbalah.
Really?
The wise men of Kabbalah agreed with the Rambam on this statement. Now, the Baal HaTanya. It's in the Sefer HaTanya a couple of times where he quotes the Rambam and he says the Mekubalim agree with the Rambam in this. So what Rabbi Twersky, as that's all used to say, is that Do you realize how great the Rambam was? That he came to that knowledge without being exposed to Kabbalah? The Ramban just told us right now it's not possible. And one person apparently did it to a great extent, and that was the Ramban. Now, the Mekubalim have other areas where they disagree adamantly with the Ramban. They even say certain parts of the Ramban you shouldn't learn. But nonetheless, that's a long-standing machlokas, and it doesn't take away anything from the godless of the Rambam. Okay, what was the second thing, Regina? Are you talking about the Septuagint when they translated it to Greek?
Like if they have certain things that could be misinterpreted, they like change.
Yeah.
Because if they change things, then how
that's a problem.
It's a continuous name of God.
Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't sound right to me. It sounds like some other type of tikkun to avoid misunderstanding something, but I can't imagine that meant actually changing. Yeah, the only time we see that, to my knowledge, is when they translated it to Greek, because they had to make sure it wasn't being mistranslated. Not as far as I know. That would be hard to grasp. Yeah. Okay, have a great week, everybody. Yashar Koach. Next week we'll actually go into the commentary of the Ramban al Hatorah. That was the Hakdama. Yeah, I'm gonna choose a paragraph or two from Bereshis, and then we'll go forward from there. Okay.